with us to Colossians chapter 1. And it's on page 983 of those Pew Bibles. And we're going to read verse 11 through 14. And the scripture says this: "May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." This is the word of the Lord. I think as modern people, we're pretty uncomfortable with the idea of evil. And I should qualify that, I guess. I think when we imagine evil, we only think of it in materialistic terms, that it's a decision that human beings make. Poor moral decisions make up the grounds for the nature of evil. We're not people that are exactly comfortable with the idea that evil could be a force, that it could be a person. And in fact, I think that's reflective of a secular society that we live in. We live in a society who very quietly says the only things that can be true are that which can submit to our form of rationality, so that if it can undergo the scientific method, you know, if it can be tested, observed, and repeated, then it must be real. And of course, if there was a God who invented all these things, he would not submit himself to such manipulation. And so what we do is we leave out the idea of God, because he doesn't meet our qualifications for rationality. And the same is actually true with evil. When we think about it, and it's almost scarier that we don't consider evil to be a real thing. And we turn away from it. And we don't love the idea. It seems spooky or kind of over-the-top religious, that religion would be, that evil would be a force or a realm or a person. And yet I think that is exactly what Colossians is putting out there again and again and again. Colossians is consistently portraying evil as something like a principality or a power, or even one you might call Satan. And I think that's exactly what's going on in this passage. He's got evil in the purview here. Paul says in verse 13, this is the verse we're going to be dealing with all morning here. Paul says, "God has delivered us from the domain of darkness." That darkness is his evil word. "And he has transferred us to the kingdom of the beloved Son." So what he's doing here is he's contrasting good and evil. He's contrasting darkness with the Son, Jesus Christ. And as he's doing that, he's using two very interesting words. He's using the word domain and kingdom when describing darkness and the Son. And those two words are meant to communicate something very particular to us, specifically domain and kingdom. And you know this, they are defined by rule and authority and power. So that what Paul is saying here is that darkness is not just a person who exists somewhere. Darkness has a domain. Darkness isn't just sort of this little area. You know, there's a bad part of town, and it's kind of a little spot where there's some dark and shady creatures. No, he's saying that darkness has domain. Darkness has an authority, as does the kingdom of the beloved Son. I mean, this is where he says, so that you've been, and even more than that, he's saying, since you've been transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of the beloved Son, he's assuming that all the time we are under the authority and the rule of one of these powers. So not only do they have domain, not only do they have authority, but people like us are set under such things. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, you and I are ruled by something. And Paul is saying it's either darkness or it's the kingdom of the beloved Son. And I think this idea that we are ruled by something is maybe even more offensive to modern people than is the existence of evil itself. If you think about what it means to be a modern person, the entire idea is built on this sort of enlightenment purview that all of us are free, autonomous individuals that can choose and act and do as we want to do, that we govern and rule ourselves. I mean, you see this in our politics, you know, that once 1,000, 2,000 years ago, maybe the exception of a few Greek democracies, people were ruled by tyrants. They were ruled by kings. They were ruled by military generals. And they just sort of thought that's the way it was. It's not so anymore. We don't want to be ruled by any tyrants. We're a free democratic country, right? We only allow ourselves to be ruled by the people that we choose, because we have this paradigm that says we are our own gods. We've been given the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to rule ourselves as we see fit. You see this in our consumeristic society. You know, the whole consumer society is built and preys upon the idea that you're an individual who has free choice, and they're going to profit off your desire to exercise those choices at all times. You see it in religion. I mean, modern religion is sort of a marketplace. It's a buffet line of choices at this point. We don't live in parish models where there's one choice. You just sort of lay them all out there and figure out which ones you think is the best. I mean, the idea that we're swimming in all the time is that I am my own God, I rule myself. And yet there's this feeling, I think, when you step back, that the whole thing is sort of a farce. And when you step back and you begin to think about it, you sort of realize that we're not quite as free as our politics or our marketplace want us to believe we are. I'm in this shopping center the other day, and there's an L.L. Bean store there, which we don't have there. L.L. Bean's kind of a cool deal. You know, they got fun stuff. I'm like, I'm going in there. I like this. Let's see what they got here. And I walk in, and it's, you know, it's all these cool jackets everywhere. You know, just racks and racks of these jackets. And I see one, and it smells nice, and it feels nice, and the zipper's really good. And I start reading the description on the tag. It's one of these Sub-Zero jackets. It's rated to negative 25 degrees. Negative 25 degrees. You could wear this jacket at negative 25 degrees. And it's $500. And I'm putting it on and I'm like, I could do this. I mean, Arden might be a little mad at me when I get home, but I mean, I can buy this. I need this jacket. And it occurred to me, I live in Mobile, Alabama. Like, I didn't even need a sweater this year. I mean, they almost had me. They almost tricked me into buying. There was such, like, this is like mind control. I think about this with when we were naming our children. You know, I guess you maybe we're millennials or something like this, and so we imagine ourselves to be completely original, amazing people, you know, which we've learned we're not, but we thought we're going to name our kids original stuff. You know, not too weird, but a little bit different. And so when we came up with names, we started looking up what the most popular names were those years. Some of y'all who are younger parents know what I'm talking about with this. So 2007, we look up the name Caleb. We started, we know we were going to have a baby, and we wanted to name him Caleb. And it was the 450th most popular name in 2007. We're like, yes, this is great. We're going to do this, right? He's born in 2008. And I go to look at the most popular names for 2008s for boys. Ends up, Caleb is the fourth most popular name that year. And I cannot for the life of me figure out how that works. How did thousands of people come to the exact same conclusion that I did? I mean, the only thing I can think is I'm not quite as original or as free or as cool as I think that I am. And I think that what Colossians is saying is exactly the same thing. That though we imagine ourselves to be these free, autonomous individuals, the reality is, particularly in our spiritual life, We are people who are controlled and influenced by something bigger than us. And Paul calls it the domain of darkness. And he says that it is something that constrains us, that has an authority over us. Even consistently in the Bible, he says, it is something that indwells us and influences us. Listen to how he says it in Romans 7. He says, I am of the flesh, sold under sin. Okay, that's that idea that I'm enslaved to something I don't want to be. For I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want to do. But I do the very thing I hate. Hardly free choice, is it? Now, if I do what I want, I agree with the law that it is good. So that now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me, saying that sin is doing something in him that he doesn't even want to do. And more than that, he says, I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry out. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want. You know, this is me with serving other people. That's so bad to say as a pastor, but you all know what you're dealing with here. You've been here long enough. There's this group of pastors. Every year we get together, accountability group, and we fly into an airport, and we all sort of rent cars and drive a couple hours up into upstate New York. And I flew in an hour early, and I rented a car, and I was supposed to pick up the next guy who was coming in an hour later, which I was completely mad about that he delayed me for an hour. But he texts me and he says, oh, my plane's going to be late. And I know the right thing to do is to wait around for him. Like, that's the kind of thing like one of you would do. You know, you do the nice thing and serve him and wait around for him. I text him back. I'm like, rent your own car. I'm done. And I left him. And he came in like 30 minutes after he said he was supposed to come in. And I get up there. And all these guys are making fun of me. They're just like, you know, don't get hurt. Don't be in need if Alex is around, because he is going to leave you wherever you go. And I know it's the wrong thing to do. Like, I knew it. I'm like, I should stay and wait for this guy. That would be the good guy thing to do. It's like, I could be stuck at the airport for 3 hours. I don't want to do that. I do not do the thing that I want to do. I do the thing that I do not want to do. And the reason that I do that is because I am constrained. I'm influenced. I'm not hardly as free as I think that I am. There is something inside of me. And I mean, Paul is just giving, he's talking this quintessential human experience that I just, why do I constantly do the thing that I don't want to do? And Paul says the reason that it is because you are under the domain of darkness. Evil has indwelled you. It has constrained you. You make choices, and those choices are influenced by things that you don't even realize. It's all around you at all times. I'm on that airplane. I'm coming home this week. And I'm sitting in the aisle seat right here, and Caleb's sitting in the aisle seat next to me. And I'm spying on the screen of the guy on the aisle diagonally across from me. Have you ever done that? You're not. I just know it's like not a good thing to do, but I was doing it. And I'm just, because I'm bored and I'm nervous, and so I'm watching the screen in front of me, and I start looking at what he's looking at, and I realize he's on Craigslist, which is not a great sign. And he's looking up, and I'm trying to, I don't know if there's an appropriate way to say this. He's looking up Asian women in Charlotte that are available. I mean, I live in the real world. Like, that doesn't surprise me, you know? But what's so surprising to me is how casual it was. I mean, he didn't care. Sitting right there in the middle of the airplane. He's one row in front of my son, and he could care less than anybody would see him. And I started thinking, like, how do you get there? You know, how does that not become a big deal? And in my mind, I'm thinking this guy's, you know, this guy's got a deranged mind. He's addicted. He's evil. He's so different from me. But the truth is, that's just the regular, everyday, normative work of the dominion of darkness. What it does is, I mean, you think about that. And I was sitting there looking at that guy and I'm thinking, there is no way he wants to do this. There's no way he's proud of this. There's no way he thinks this is a good idea, but he is compelled and constrained and influenced by something that is bigger than him, and he can't control it. And it doesn't mean it's not his fault. It just means he submitted his life to a slavery of sin. You know, the way the dominion of darkness works, I think, it's a bit like a drug addiction. You know, if you rob a bank while you're under the influence of drugs, you don't get to go plead insanity before the judge. You're guilty. Even though you weren't in your right mind when you did it, the idea is that when you submit yourself to sin, you have given yourself over to a power that is bigger than you and does not have your best interest at heart. It wants to enslave you and use you and suck you dry. And to think that you know, oh, it's not me. No, you're culpable and you're in the middle of it. And the reality is, the Bible says, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that as we have given ourselves over to sin, bit by bit, piece by piece, one day you wake up and you're on a plane from New York to Charlotte and you're looking how to call for escorts. It's not that much of a leap. And we may think, oh, we're nice, good, fine, honest people. And we don't do salacious, crazy, deranged things like that. And therefore, we're not under the domain of darkness. That may be darkness's greatest trick right there, right? I mean, darkness's greatest trick may be to make you think that its influence is only in the wicked and the wild and the naughty, when in fact what darkness is doing is influencing far more sanitized and suburbanized forms. We are far more influenced by the domain of darkness than we want to admit. You know, we ditch holiness. At the first moment, it makes us look weird. Our materialism is out of control. The way that we spend money is nuts. We can't serve Christ. We can't really give ourselves to Jesus Christ. You know, because our kids have too many activities at night and we're too busy. We can't read the Bible. We can't study it because it's not entertaining enough to us. We can stare at a screen. We can be hypnotized by another sporting event. We can give ourselves over to the relentless watching of cable news, but we can't study the Bible. It's too boring for us. These are the influences of the domain of darkness, and the way he operates is absolutely in the sanitized, suburbanized vision of American life. We choke down busyness. We whore our kids out for success. We're addicted to intoxicants and money and pornography and our appearance, and it is darkness. It controls us. And we don't want to be these people. And yet, these are the people that we are. And it feels like when you stop, it's like, how do I get out of this thing? You know, when I bring it up with the friends and the people around me, like, you know, you begin to bring any up one of these sort of average suburbanized American life things up with anybody around you, and be warned, you will quickly be shouted down. You call into question any number of those things, and people will look at you, and they will think you're weird, and they will think you're strained. And what it does, it's just darkness's way of continuing to constrain us. Now, I think what Paul is putting before us here is, you know, what we do in religion and what I do, what I try to do with folks all the time, and it's the wrong way, is I think, why don't I just add in a little bit of religion in the middle of all the other stuff? You know, like it could be a both and. And I think what Paul is saying is, following Jesus Christ is not a both and. It's an either or. Either it is the domain of darkness, or it's the kingdom of the beloved Son. Either you are compelled and controlled by evil, or you are compelled and controlled by Jesus Christ. And so what's at stake in all of this is not a new philosophy. It's not being a good person. What's at stake is who controls our lives. Who influences us? What indwells us and compels us in all of the things that we do? And it is a high stakes game. It is one that is for keeps and one that is for eternity. And if you are one who is under the dominion of darkness, your question ought to be, what do I do to be delivered? What is it that delivers me? Here's the bad news. You're not going to outsmart darkness. You're not going to choose your way out of it. You're not good guy syndrome cannot beat it. The only way out is Jesus Christ. And I love the way Paul says it. He says it exactly as that here. Verse 13, he says, He, that is God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has transferred us to the kingdom of the beloved Son. You hear who the subject of that is. It's not you who deliver. It's God. It's God who transfers. It's God who saves. It's God who rescues. And for those of us who can look around and feel the darkness indwelling us, the way out is Jesus Christ. The only one that can save you is to put your trust in Him, to have the Spirit to come and indwell you, that Spirit where once it was sin, now it is God Himself who lives inside of you. And you will, make no mistake, you will be under another authority. But the authority and the rule of one is not like the authority and the rule of another. You know, where the domain of darkness desires to constrain, it desires to use, it desires to grab you and control you, the kingdom of the beloved Son is much different. It is a slavery to Christ, the Bible says, but it is a strange slavery that results in freedom. And I think that the reason that the slavery to Christ is freedom is because we've misdefined freedom. You know, freedom in a post-Enlightenment culture, I think we've defined it as the ability to make unfettered choices. I don't think that's freedom. I think freedom is the ability to be who you were made to be. Let me give you an example, my children. When I have a lazy day, and I decide I'm just going to not bring the full force of my parenting to my children. And I decide, you know, I'm going to lay back a little bit. I'm going to let off the gas. And I decide to let the children become a little more like the parents. What ends up is they get more choices. They have more power. But they're absolutely miserable in the midst of it. They're terrible human beings. They can't eat enough. They can't play enough. They can't use me. I mean, it's just on and on and on. And they, you know, we have a word for this. It's a nice word. It's called being spoiled, right? Spoiled children are miserable children because spoiled children, what that really is they are not living into the people that they were made to be. Now, when I step in and I assume my role as parent and I make them into who they were made to be as children, what they experience is anything but slavery, it's freedom. You know, there is this freedom in the boundary that I set for them. There is freedom in being children. I mean, they sit outside and they play till dark and they have not a worry on their mind because I'm taking care of the world. And I would suggest the same is true for people like us. When you submit yourself to the rule of Jesus Christ, when you let God be God, and you take your rightful place as the one you're created to be in His image, but submitted to Him, what you experience is not slavery, it's freedom. It's freedom because you are being the person that God made you to be. And even more than that, and this is what's so wild, that you even in not being free to make whatever choice you want, you're now being influenced by the light. And that sounds horrible. It sounds like God is closing me in and determining my choices. It is not. It is freedom and joy to be influenced by the light. I think about this journey we've been on as a church. I think about the call here to Mobile. You know, if you told me 10 years ago that I would be doing ministry in Crichton, Alabama every single day, I would have laughed at you. I couldn't have imagined this in a million years. And that's in part, look, let's just put the cards on the table here. That's because if we're being honest, I am country club. I'm spoiled, I'm pampered, I seek whatever is most comfortable for me at all times. That's just how it is for me. And I think about but I think about the way that the light has influenced me, the way that it has constrained me. Look, I wouldn't have chosen this. But the light changed my appetites and my desires, and so that my slavery to Christ is not a denial of my personal preferences or my styles or what I would want. Actually, it is at the greatest moment, it is my joy. It's my freedom. To think that Jesus Christ said, go left when I would go right. This has been, this whole thing has been so much more my joy than anything I could have come up with. It is wild for me to come to work every day. I mean, it is out of my comfort zone in a way that I didn't imagine. And it is crazy stretching me at all time, but it is my joy to be influenced by the light and to actually have desires changed. You know, I think about, like, let's say Wilman here has one of his Atlanta buddies that calls us and he says, I got a tee time at 2:30 at Augusta National and I'm sending a plane to Brooklyn, 11:45, be on the tarmac, bring your friend. And Brian comes up to me and says, look, I got a tee time. Let's go. 11:45 today. I'm thinking, I would say no thanks. I got something better to do. We got a wedding to attend to, right? And that to me, I mean, I think about it like, that is the spot that I would want to be. And that is not because I am a good person. That is because of the influence and the constraint of the kingdom of the beloved Son. He transforms desires and affections. And it is for our joy. Might it be so for you? Might you be constrained and controlled and ruled and enslaved by the kingdom of the beloved Son? Let's pray.